You know, there's a lot of words in the New Testament to describe what we as Christians are to be. The Bible says that we are children, that we are the children of God. The Bible calls us disciples. We are those who are to learn and to follow Christ. The Bible says that we are sheep. We have our chief shepherd in Christ. There are those shepherds of the congregation, the elders, but all Christians, the Bible says, calls us sheep. The Bible calls us servants. We have our master, and we have a responsibility to serve him. The Bible calls us heirs, that we are heirs together with Christ of the glories that are promised to us. We are called citizens in the kingdom of God. We're called soldiers in the army of God. A lot of names, a lot of words used to describe what we as Christians are to be. The word that we are focusing on for today is this idea, the fact that we are to be laborers. We spent the 9 o'clock hour looking at that word, looking at what God intends for us to be as far as the heart goes, the matter of what a laborer is, someone who gives themselves fully, gives themselves diligently, even to the point of weariness and exhaustion in serving the Lord. That's what a laborer is. But as we think about being laborers this morning, as we think about being laborers in the work of God, I want us to realize that when we are involved in the work of the Lord, that it is the best work on the face of the earth. There's nothing better that you can be involved in than the work of God. You know, there's a lot of us who are proud of the work that we do, a lot of us who are proud of the jobs that we have, and we take great pleasure in the work that we have in a secular sense. But we need to realize that the work of the Lord is the greatest work that there is on earth. It's the greatest work that there is on earth because when we're talking about the work of the Lord, it's dealing with that which the Bible calls wonderful with a capital W. The very first time in Isaiah 9, the Bible said that there was going to be a child born. The first name, the first thing that Isaiah said that this child would be called would be wonderful. When you're involved in the work of the Lord, you're dealing with that which is wonderful. We're dealing with Jesus. When we're in the work of the Lord, we're dealing with that which is eternal. The possibility of going to heaven forever and ever. When we're involved in the work of the Lord, we're dealing with that which is spiritual. We're not talking about something physical. We're not talking about something that has been created or made on this earth out of some kind of physical means. We're talking about the souls of mankind. There's no greater work on the face of this earth than something that deals with the eternal salvation of our immortal souls. Are you involved in that work? Are you a laborer in the work of God? Are you involved in that which is dealing not with something that's temporary, not with something that's merely passing, but with something that is going to make an eternal difference? You know, those of us who have jobs, most of us in our jobs are dealing with something that's very temporary. You know, some, and I don't want to minimize those who are working taxes, but this is your season. This is tax season. But I hate to tell you, but by the end of this year, those rules are going to be different for 2013 and 14, and you're going to have to start all over again. There's something that's temporary about it. Those of you who work on computers, Gene talked about those people who work on computers in the Bible class. Those of you who work on computers, you know how those things change. You know how once you learn one bit of software, you got to learn the new version. Things seem to be temporary today. But when you're involved in the work of the Lord, there's nothing temporary about it. It is eternal. Are you making an eternal difference for the cause of Christ? But as we talked about in the Bible class hour, when we look at the work of the Lord, it is not only something that is the greatest work on earth, it is something that is hard. That's why God uses the word labor. something that requires our most diligent effort that we can give. We're going to look at this passage tonight. But in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, and there's a lot of confusion about this, and that's why we're going to look at it tonight. The Bible says that God saved us. If you're a Christian, God saved us, saved you in Christ in order that you might be a worker, in order that you might work for Him. That's why He saved you. The Bible says that God expects us and requires us to work for Him. And God not only expects us to be workers. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. God tells us that we are to be abounding in His work. As we think about being laborers, are you a laborer? Are you someone who has devoted your every effort to the cause of Christ? Are you someone not who has been pulled in, not someone who has been dragged in, not, well, I'll do that if that's what I have to do. Are you one who out of a heart filled with love for our God, out of a heart filled with joy in serving our God, that you are ready to say, whatever the Lord would have me to do, I want to labor for His cause? But we're not only looking at the idea of being laborers this morning. The concept that's there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is that we are laborers together. You know, when you became a Christian, God did not put you into isolation someplace. When you became a Christian, God did not say, well, you need to go and work, but you've got to go and you've got to do this work all by yourself. Being involved in the work of the Lord, it brings Christians together. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, and he said unto them, you need to do all that you can to make sure that your conduct is worthy, is comparable, can be held up to the gospel of Christ. Philippians 1 verse 27, be sure that your conduct is worthy of the gospel of Christ, he said, so that when I come to you, that I might find you of one mind and in one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know, when you're a Christian and you're laboring for the cause of Christ, being involved in that work brings Christians together. Look in the passage that was read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, because Paul says in verse 6, he brings out himself by name. He brings out by name. And how would the Apostle Paul and a man by the name of Apollos, how would you compare them? You know, in our minds, we would place the Apostle Paul on one level, and we would place the Apollos down on another level. How would you compare Apollos to the Apostle Paul? He's not there. But Paul says, I planted. Was Apollos worth anything? Apollos watered. What was more important? Who was it who deserved more credit? Who was it who God looked upon as the one who did more work? Working for the cause of Christ brings Christians together. I planted, Paul says. Apollos watered. God looks at each of us having a responsibility in the cause of Christ. But being Christians, being laborers, it not only brings Christians together, but doesn't it make the work easier? Doesn't working together as Christians, doesn't that make it easier to do the work? It's like sports teams. Isn't it usually easier? I know some of us would say no to this. Isn't it usually easier to play as a team than it is to play by yourself? I know there's some stars in here. I know there's some in here who didn't need the rest of the team. They were just your supporting cast. But isn't it easier when you walk on the basketball court for there to be five on your side and not just one? I know some of you are saying, well, I would have done better if it was just me and I didn't have the rest of those hanging around. When you walk on the football field, is it easier if your side has 11 when the other side has 11 on their side? You know, working together makes it easier to do the work. You're not having to carry the entire load on your own. That's what the Bible says about being a Christian. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that when you are a Christian involved in the work of the Lord, it's like a body where every part does its share. That's what Ephesians 4 verse 16 says. It says that this body, it functions properly and it functions a lot easier when every part is doing its share. You know, being a laborer for God can be hard. But when I get to be a laborer who is joined together with another laborer for the cause of Christ, not only makes it easier, it ought to bring joy to our hearts, knowing that we can work together. It ought to unite us in our desires. It ought to create a love for one another that we didn't have before. And the more that we work together, the more fruit, the more benefit, the more success, the more growth there will be from our efforts. Are you a laborer? Can you say, I get to be a laborer in the work of the Lord? Can you say, I get to be a laborer together with my brothers and sisters? That I want to work with them. You know, it's interesting how God looks at Christians. God expects us to labor individually. We have responsibilities, individual responsibilities as Christians. And yet, we labor individually together because we're not alone. And when we are together, we labor together. But sometimes when we think about laboring together, we think, well, I'll be in the number. I'll be in the midst. We'll let the leaders take care of that. We'll let the deacons, we'll let the others, and I'll be there with them and go along with them. That's not laboring together. There are some people who might be laboring together, but then there might be others who aren't laboring. That's not laboring together. That's just being together. But God puts us together to labor together, but individually within that body for each of us to do our part. But here's where we want to get this morning. Not just that we are laborers. Not just in the body of Christ that we are laborers together. But this morning we want to think about the fact that we are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, that's the way that the King James Version translates that passage. That we are laborers together with God. The work of the Lord. Did you know? The work of the Lord doesn't belong to any one of us. It's not my work. It's not your work. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again. Look in verse 5. What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5? Who's Paul? Who's Paulus? He says, we are merely servants of the Lord. We're not anything. And then you drop down to verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7. And Paul says, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters. Here's Paul, he planted. Here's Apollos, he watered. In the very next verse, verse 7, what does Paul say? Oh, they're not anything, no. Why? Because the work does not belong to us. When we're involved as laborers together, we are laboring together with God, but it's not our work, it is His work. It is His. And as you think about that, think about the awesome privilege that God gives to us. The awesome privilege of not working just, we could say that we work for God and use that preposition. Do we work for God? Well, sure we do. We're His children. We are His people. And we work for Him. We do things for God. But that's not the preposition that's in 1 Corinthians 3. The preposition in 1 Corinthians 3 is that we get to work with God. I want you to think about that expression. It is not that we are the only ones who are working. When I am laboring together with God, I am not the only one laboring. God is laboring also. In John chapter 5 and verse 17. John 5 verse 17, Jesus says, I am still working and my Father in heaven is still working. When we are involved in labor, we are involved in the work of the Lord side by side with Him. And when I get to work with the Lord, look in Colossians chapter 1. I want us to see three passages before we talk about how this impacts each one of us today. Look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, Paul says that we need, that his prayer for the church there is that they would grow. That his prayer for the church there, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, is that they would be filled with the knowledge of Christ and grow in his knowledge. And then he says in Colossians 1 and verse 10, that you may walk, here's my prayer for you, that you would walk worthy of the Lord. How do you walk worthy of the Lord? Fully pleasing Him. How do I know if I'm worthy of God? I walk trying to please Him. How do I know if I'm worthy of God? Look at the middle of verse 10, where I am fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Are you growing as a Christian? Are you increasing in the knowledge of God? Are you one who is trying to do all that you can to please God? Now look down in verse 28. Paul says in Colossians 1 and verse 28, Him we preach, talking about Christ. Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, in order that we might present every man perfect in Christ. And Paul says, to this end I labor, striving according to His working. Paul says, I am laboring, but while I am laboring, I am striving according to His working, God's work. Well, what's God's work doing in Colossians 1 and verse 29? Paul says, His work is working in me. And it's working in me mightily. You know the passage over in Philippians chapter 2? We're going to look at this passage tonight also, where the Bible's, where Paul tells us that we are to work out our own salvation. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. When I'm laboring with God, I'm not laboring by myself. I'm laboring with Him, but He's not only laboring with me, He is laboring in me. He is working, His work is working in me in order that I might work the works He would have me to do. Look in Hebrews chapter 13, one more passage. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 21, as the Hebrew writer begins to close this book, he says, here's my desire for you. My desire for you is that God would make you complete in Him. That God would make you complete in every good work of His will and every good work to do His will. Now here's what He wants to happen. In order that His working in you will be well-pleasing in His sight. We need to be not just laborers. We need to be not just laborers together, we need to be laborers together with God for His cause in order that while I am working with Him, He might work in me. As you think about your Christian life, what are you doing for the work of the Lord? As you think about this last week, what labor did you do for the Lord in this last week? What labor did you do with God in the last month? God calls us to be laborers together with Him. Are we doing that? He has promised tremendous blessings to those who do it. Think about that preposition with, that we are laborers together with. And God says, when I'm a laborer together with God, then I get to have fellowship with God, I get to have favor with God, and I have a home promised to me in heaven with God. But in order for me to have fellowship with God, in order for me to find favor with God, in order for me to ultimately have a heavenly home with God, then on this earth I've got to be a laborer with God. I'm going to ask the elders and deacons and the ushers who have any of these cards, if you'll pass out the cards first. And as you get these, members of this congregation, just put them aside. You don't, many of you have seen something like this. Just pass out the cards. Take the cards, and I'll give the ushers and elders and deacons, if you got a stack of these from me, if you'll pass these out, make sure everybody here has one of these. And then just put it beside you. You won't need this for a couple minutes, but they've got something else even more important to give you than that. But while they're passing those out, keep your attention up here, and we'll get through this. The elders, deacons, and preachers have spent the last year and a half working on something to help this congregation to become laborers together with God. The elders, deacons, and preachers have been trying to find new assignments, new tasks that this church can be involved in. They've been trying to find new opportunities where members can get involved in different works. Many of you, as you look at, I know you won't put it beside you, but many of you, as you look at that card that you get and then you eventually put it beside you, recognize that we used to have, and I say used to because it's a thing of the past now, we used to have a sheet that we called our membership information questionnaire. That on the front of it, it had what's on this card, the front and back of this card. But on the back of that sheet, on that membership information questionnaire, it listed about 70 different areas, 70 different things where members of the church could get involved. And if you, when you placed membership, you were just asked to check off, what would you like to get involved in? And sometimes that worked and sometimes didn't work so well. So the elders decided we need to find a way to get our members opportunities to get involved in working. To give them multiple opportunities to find all sorts of things that our members might like to be involved in, and to try to find ways to put those tasks into their hands. And so the elders looked at the works that we are doing, and they divided them up similar to how we've had them before, but they gave new names. They gave new names to, instead of calling, this is what we used to call them over here, instead of calling our works by those names, they said, we're going to have a work, and the name of that work is spreading the gospel. Wouldn't you like to be a laborer involved in spreading the gospel? One of our works is called loving one another. That's one of our endeavors in this congregation, is to find ways to show each other that we love one another. We have an education program. Instead of calling it our education program, we want to call it, what can we do to equip adults and youth? Would you like to be involved in equipping adults and youth for serving the Lord? We have our worship. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40 says it needs to be done decently and in order. There are opportunities that we have to do good unto all men. Aren't we supposed to all be involved in that? And there are possessions. This building, this property, everything that's involved in the grounds here that we are responsible to be stewards of. That we're responsible as Christians not only to be good stewards, as we've been talking this quarter about of those things that we have in our homes, but those things even that we have collectively here. So the elders, deacons, and preachers have been spending time, how can we as a congregation become more equipped to labor together with God? And gentlemen, elders and deacons and ushers, if you'll pass out the booklets, I'm going to have you wait for just a second, because if you give out the booklets now, things are shot. Nobody's going to listen to anything I say. So hold on a second. Don't give them, the suspense will just keep them enthralled in what's happening, I'm confident. So anyway, here's a picture of the booklet. That'll be good enough for you for now. They created a booklet. You remember the back of that membership information questionnaire had about 70 different things that you could check off that you wanted to be involved in. The elders have created a booklet because one sheet of paper was not enough. And in this booklet, there are not 70, there are 326 different opportunities where you can get involved in laboring together with God. Now, that doesn't mean there's only 326 opportunities. Many of those require more than one person to fulfill the task. 326 things that are listed in this booklet where you can find an opportunity. What can I do in service to God? What can I do at Palm Beach Lakes to say, I want to be involved? Where is something that I can say, this is what I do? What do you do down at the church? Well, this is what I'm involved in. This is the opportunity that's been given to me, and there's a wide variety of these things as we'll go through it. If you will, on that card, the only thing I want you to do right now is just write your name on the card that you already have. Write your last name first. That'll help us. Write your last name for it, and then that's all I want you to do with that card. But if we find a card around, we want to know who it belongs to. We want to know who lost it. So that's all we want you to do at this point. Just write your name on that card. Should I do this? Go ahead and pass out the booklets. But listen to me while they're getting the booklets to you, okay? These booklets containing 326 different opportunities to serve, when you get them, if you would please write your name on the front of it. First and last, please print it, because you're going to eventually be giving these books back to us. If you will print your name first and last on the front cover of that book, and then listen to me. Okay? Don't get in. You're going to have 2 weeks to read this. So just listen. Write your name on the front. And then here's what we want you to do over the next 2 weeks. Over the next 2 weeks, we want you to take this book and to read through it. Not now. You don't have time in a sermon. If you start reading, I'll preach longer. I'll give you plenty of time to finish the book. You know I can do it. But we want you to read through this, but read everything that's in there. See all of the opportunities. And this is not an indefinite commitment. An opportunity to be involved for the next 2 years. What would you like to do at Palm Beach Lakes over the next 2 years? After and while you read through this, don't forget to pray. What is this? This is laborers together, what is it? With God. Shame on us if we try to serve God without God. Shame on us if we try to get involved in the work of the Lord without the Lord. Pray to God and ask God, God, where should I work? God, give me wisdom. Help me to choose the area that I would be best suited for. God, help me to find something that I can truly get involved in and to make it my own. And then as you go through this booklet, we need you to think in two different mindsets. As you read through these 326 items, and this is how it's different than the old questionnaire we had. As you read, anybody not have a booklet, raise your hand. Anybody reading your booklet, raise your hand. Pete Brown, put your booklet away. So, as you read through the booklet, find those things that you are zealous to do. Something you just got a fire. If there's anything I want to do here, this is what I want to do. Find those things. And then as you read through those items, find those things that, okay. Yeah, I'd be willing to do that. I mean, I don't have just a burning passion to do it, but if somebody came to me and asked me to, yeah, I'd be willing. I'd be willing to do that. So here's what you're going to find in the booklet. Because you haven't looked in the booklet yet, so I'm going to give you a sneak peek, right? Here's what you're going to find in the booklet. All of these different areas are divided. There is a section called local outreach here. Here's a sample. Here's one of our works, House to House, Heart to Heart. Glenn Dawson is the gentleman who is in charge of our House to House mailings. And under House to House, there are two different tasks that have been identified that we need somebody who can be in charge of these things. And so you're reading through this and you think, wow, yeah, that is what I get those labels ready and divide them out and cut them and put. That's what I want to do. If you find something that you are zealous, you've got a burning, that's what I want to do for the Lord, then you check it in the Z column. Z for zealous. That's what I want to do. Maybe you're not zealous for it, but you look at it and you say, you know, I'd be willing, you know, if Glenn needs some help, if Glenn wants to come and ask me to do that, I'd be willing to do it. You know, because it's possible that, Glenn, it's possible nobody's going to check the Z column right there. I don't know why, but it's possible, isn't it? It's possible nobody's going to check that Z column, but if somebody checks that W column, then we've got a volunteer. Somebody would be willing to do it. Read through the 326. Pray about it to God. Find those things that you have a yearning to do. Check them in the Z column, but we are going to ask you to limit those to 5. All of these instructions, you haven't looked in the book yet, I know, but all of these instructions are in the book, so you don't have to write all this down. In the Z column, only check 5 things. We know somebody like Richard Watson is zealous to do all 326. We know somebody like Richard, he's just got a heart that says, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it all. We want you to find 5 things that you are zealous to do, not 6 or 7. Limit yourself. You might limit yourself to 3 or 4, and that's okay. What do you really want? Because that helps the elders to be able to narrow. If you check off 20 things, we don't know which one you'd really like to do. But if you only check off no more than 5, that helps the elders to fine-tune and say, that's what Les McQuinn wants to do. He's narrowed down. That's what he really wants to do. And then on the willing side, where maybe you don't have just a burning passion to do it, but it's something you're interested in, something you might be good at, something that for sure you would be willing to do if you were called upon to do it, there is no limit to how many of those you can check. Now, don't check 326 of them. All right, that's not completely what we're looking for. But there's no limit to how many things you'd be willing to help with if you're asked to do it. This is an opportunity from this day forward. This is an opportunity for us to labor together with God like we have never done before. It's an opportunity for us individually. For us individually, for me as a Christian, for you as a member of this congregation, to labor together with God as you never have before. And it's an opportunity for us as a congregation to do more than we've ever done before. But we've got to have the participation of every member. You know, sometimes a member says, nobody ever has asked me to do anything. If you've said that, that might be a truthful statement. Nobody's ever asked me to do anything. But could it also equally be stated that maybe you haven't asked to be involved yourself? Maybe you haven't pushed. You know, sometimes asking is not enough. Sometimes you got to push to be involved. There's some new members who come here. They've come from other congregations and they push themselves in to be involved. Not in some rude way, but to say, I want to be involved. Give me a job. Give me something to do. Here's an opportunity for all of us to look through here and decide what can, because 2 years from now, we're going to have a whole new booklet and go through it all again. We're not asking for a lifetime commitment. If you're zealous or willing to do something, we're not going to drop it in your lap until the day that you die. You know, some people say, well, I'd like to teach cradle roll, but I don't want to be in there, you know, when I'm at death's door. Well, nobody else will teach cradle roll. It's just a 2-year commitment. As you read through the book, as you go through it, we know that perhaps there's something that has missed you. Perhaps in the 326 things that we missed your passion. That there's something that you're looking for and it's not there. You say, this is where I would like to be involved. If so, write it on page 47. Now, there are 47 pages. It would be a cruel joke, wouldn't it, for it to only have 46 pages and we tell you to write it on page 47. Write it on page 47. Here's where I would like to really be involved. And that's if you don't find something on those first 46 pages. But we know perhaps there's something that somebody would like to do. If you have any questions, as I showed you on that sample, there's somebody's name that's assigned there. Go and talk to them. And then 2 weeks from today, we will have a box in the lobby, a rather large box. It'll have to be for you to drop your booklet with your name clearly printed on the front with your check marks inside. And it might take us a week or two or three or four or five to compile all of those things and pull it all together. But once that is done, once it is all compiled, then Ephesians 4 and verse 16 says, we ought to be efficiently working together where every part is doing its share. If you have any questions, talk to these people that are listed there. Next Sunday, we're going to have a name tag Sunday. In case you're looking through this book and you say, I have no idea who Gary Jenkins is. I have no idea who this... Then next week, everybody's going to have a name tag on. You can go find. This is the person I need to talk to. So tell me more about... Before I volunteer for this, tell me more about it. But what we've also tried to do in that booklet is to make them more descriptive so there's more information so that you know what you're volunteering to do. Brethren, let's get behind this. God has called us to be laborers together with Him. Let's not just say, well, that sounds good. Let's not just say, well, you know, I hope the members get behind this. It'd be good if they did more. Let's go home today. Let's pray to God and say, God, use me. Go through this booklet over the next 2 weeks. Make any contacts you need to make for more information. And let's become what God would have us to be. Let's pray together. Our Holy Father, You have been so good to us. We are so thankful to You for all that You have blessed us with in this life. We are so thankful to You for the opportunity to not just be called Your child, but to be called a servant, to be called a laborer. God, we know that if it were not for You, that salvation would not be possible. We know that if it were not for You, that an opportunity to spend eternity in heaven with You would not be possible. Father, we thank You. Father, we want You to know that we love You. We don't tell You that enough, but we love You. Father, we pray that our lives will truly reflect the love that we have for You. God, where we have failed in the past, where we have not worked and labored and done everything that we could in the past, Father, we don't deserve it, but we ask that You would forgive us. Father, help each of us, each member of this congregation, to make up our minds today that we are going to do more, that we are going to find more opportunities, that we are going to be a laborer together with You. God bless us in this effort.
Father, may none of this be done in order that we might be glorified or that we might receive accolades, but God, may we do all of this in order that You might be the one to receive the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As important as all of this has been, can I have your attention? I know that this is part of the lesson that sometimes people tune out. But this is the most important part of this lesson. Everything has been vitally important to talk about being a laborer together with God, but there's nothing more important if you are not already one of His children. Are you a Christian today? This is the most important part of the lesson for you. The Bible says in order to become a Christian, you've got to believe that Jesus is God's Son. Do you believe that with all of your heart? The Bible says in order to become a Christian that you need to repent, turn away from the sin and the wrong that's in your life. The Bible says that in order to become a Christian that you need to confess the faith that's in your heart. That I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And then the Bible says, if you want to be a Christian, you need to be baptized. Baptized into Christ, buried with Him, in order that the blood that He shed in His death might wash away every one of your sins. Have you ever done that? We've got the water here. We've got the garments here. Everything is ready for you to become a Christian. The question is, are you ready today to become a Christian? Once you're a Christian, God says, be faithful. God says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Can we help you today? Can we help you to walk out of here as a laborer, a child of God? If we can help you, please come as together we stand and sing.